The thing is that we have natural light. And we can see the expression of that light. We walk and talk. There are various characteristics that come with this light. If I have eternal life, this is what John is teaching. John is saying, if you say you have, and we are in the present possession of it, there are certain features that comes with it. It is, if I am not doing so, I got a question if I have eternal life. So it is eternal life. And eternal life is resident in every believer. And they are a brother hating a brother. John said, you don't have eternal life. If you don't lay down your life for the brethren, you see a fire and he said, oh, let them get burned. You don't know what will happen. You say, oh, I will pray. You don't know. Your eternal life somehow is going to lend itself for that situation. I cannot say, oh, I'm going to act when that situation comes. But eternal life, which is your life, which is Christ, the feature should come out. So the essence is, my conduct in having this life should be in keeping with the life that was demonstrated in the life of the Lord Jesus.
Could we just so we all see, think of the same verses, we're probably thinking of it anyway, but we've said we have eternal life, just to refer to the verses that we read this morning. Yeah. Chapter 2, it says that God has promised us this life, which is tremendous in itself. That chapter 1 is the fact that eternal life has been here, and we could actually see the Lord Jesus. But chapter 2, the verse that was read at the beginning was that God has promised this life to us. But then chapter 2, verse 25. And then chapter 5, especially verse 11 and verse 13, it's not just a promise. You have eternal life. So there's the Christian can know certainly that A, he or she will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus. There is no question about a place in heaven for a Christian because we have eternal life. But then also, we have it now. We live in the quality of that kind of, could we say, that kind of God life already now to be able to enjoy that kind of relationship. We probably were thinking of these verses, but just to connect it with what was read.
I'd like to just comment on this promise for a moment because the tendency is to move quickly into the fact that we have it, which is also very true. But I was reminded about a year ago that this promise was the very first promise that God ever made. And we have that in Titus. The Apostle Paul refers to this in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. He says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Mm-hmm. And we think of this, well, God didn't have to promise anything to us. And this promise is unconditional. Amen. Meaning, there is nothing God expected us in return in order to obtain this promise. He didn't make this promise because there was something in us. This was simply God wanting to do this. And that's hard for the natural heart to accept. Shouldn't I have to do something? No. God is unconditionally given a promise. And this promise is eternal life. And He made this promise before the world began. Now, in time, through the Lord Jesus, He gives this promise. He gives. He doesn't exchange eternal life for something from us, but He gives it to us. How is it given? By us believing in the Son of God. That is how it's obtained. This promise is received. And then we come to the fact that eternal life was that promise, and it has been accomplished through the Lord Jesus. We accept that gift. Now we have the same life. Imagine, we have the same life that Christ exhibited, that Christ is. We have been brought into it, and we have it. You want to show eternal life? Someone says, show me eternal life. I point right to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's eternal life. You saw His walk below. You saw perfection. You saw a sinless life. You saw the life of God demonstrated in Christ. You saw a man in relationship with the God the Father. You saw the fellowship that existed in a human being. That is eternal life. So what is it that we exhibit, that we show? We show the life of Christ. That's how we show eternal life. And if someone asks you, show me eternal life, you say, well, in my failures, there are hopefully are indications that I am showing forth the life of Christ, because that's where it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to the fact that this was the very purpose of this letter. Well, one of the three purposes, that we may know. God wants us to be secure. You know, His love is such that He wants us to be secure in it. He doesn't want us anxious or wondering whether or not we have it or don't have it. You know, you see so many Christians, I don't know if I have it, I don't know. No, He wants us to be secure, that you may know that you have eternal life. So sad to hear some that say, well, I'm not sure. I hope I make it to heaven. No, brethren, we don't have to hope that we make it to heaven. We know for sure. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. So there are other verses we'll look at too.
Certainly this blessed truth brings us on a level of great responsibility.
Yes.
And sad to say, there are some that do not want to really accept that responsibility. With all that we have said this morning, it brings us into a blessed relationship with the Lord Jesus, but also with one another who have that same precious faith. But I have to display Christ in my life. If I know Him as my Savior, I know what He has done for me. I know He has brought me into this blessed relationship of eternal life with Him. What a responsibility that is. But we shouldn't fail under that. You know, sometimes we feel, well, I can't really display the Lord as I would like. No, you can't, because you have to fully rely on Him in prayer and in everything else, every step of the way, where you're working, in your home, wherever it is. With the Lord's help, you can display that you know Him as your Savior. With His help. Without Him, we can do nothing. And He has told us that. So I just want to mention those few thoughts, that this is a place of responsibility. And there are many that do not want that responsibility. And some perhaps even have a weak faith in Him. I don't want to say they are not truly Christians, but in a simple faith. But they just don't want the responsibilities that go with that faith.
So we are making it very clear that every true believer has eternal life. And if you could not remember every verse that was mentioned, John 3:16 makes it very easy. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's very easy and very simple to keep it. So every believer have eternal life. But I think what the brethren are touching on, it's how are you manifesting what you claim you have? If I have, I mean, you hear that expression sometimes of a man who is wealthy but living the life of a poor man. What is he expressing, and what is he conducting himself in a way of a life of a man that doesn't have it? But if you have that wealth, well, live as a rich man. And what we are saying, we have it because the scripture said that we have it, because God promised that we would have it. But now let that life manifest itself in our life, in our relationship, in the way we conduct ourselves. So as it was one of the life of David, one of his sons, I think that Shimei, a wise man, came to him and he said, why lookest thou mean? Not mean, lean. Though the son of a king. Sorry. Believe it or not. Why look at thou lean? You are a son of a king. You should live like a son of a king. Why do you look very lean and sad and not enjoying the privileges that you have and expressing that in the way you conduct yourself? And it's the same thing we are saying. If we are saying, so you said, well, I have eternal life. Okay, you do, because the scripture said you do. But now, manifest that. And that's why the apostle said, come and enjoy what we have enjoyed. We want to invite you to have that and to express it.